to an all-new episode of Sip the Sauce. I'm your host, Lydia, and today is probably going to be one of my favorite episodes that I've done so far, because this topic is something that I truly believe in, and to speak with somebody who has such knowledge in this field, it's just going to be fun, guys. Today, I am joined by Corby Mitlide. How are you today, Corby?
I am wonderful. The snow that we had this morning is melted. My lilac tree still has its leaves. Life is good.
Good. Now, Corby is, she's a host of things. She has experience in such a broad breadth. But what I'm really intrigued about is she is a tarot master, a psychic medium, a channel, and an author. And she's been in this profession for 50 years, and she has experience like no other. I've spent my day going over her website and listening to podcasts and everything that she was a part of, and I am floored with her information, her wealth of information. I'm just excited, and I cannot wait to get into this. Again, I want to thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I love doing things like this. It educates people.
So, just jumping into it, the tarot card mastering, past lives retrieval, which is completely different from past life regression, and I'll let you go into that in a second, and then channeling and mediumship. How did this come about? I read, you know, through your website and the a couple pages in your books. And so tell our listeners, how did you get into this?
I call this my 30-second elevator speech, because everyone always asks. When I was 9, I read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes. And instead of thinking, ooh, that's scary, or ha, 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 I thought, and your point is, I knew there was magic in the world. I wanted to go find it. So fast forward to 1973, when I was a senior in high school. Yes, my darlings, that does tell you how old I am. I was working part-time at Spencer Gifts, and they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck, and I bought it. I mean, we were all hippies then. We had our elephant bell bottoms and our fringe jackets and our tarot decks. Now, 5 years later, everyone else had moved on to roller skates and disco balls. Me, I was still reading with cards, because I found them absolutely fascinating, and I loved the stories that they told. So for 20 years, I read for friends, just making sure that I could keep my ego in check and be a clear channel for the reading. All of a sudden in 1994, I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's when the universe handed me my draft notice and said, greetings, hello, you're working for me. So I started doing this part-time. I was still actress, author, inspirational speaker, video producer, legal assistant, wrote for comic books, executive recruiter, all that other stuff on the side while I was still reading. But, 9/11, when my husband and I watched the towers burn, I looked at him and I said, I need to do this work full time. People need to know there are other answers out there. And he looked at me and he said, I believe in you, go do it. So for a year, I still worked, 70 hours a week as an executive recruiter, doing the psychic work evenings and weekends to make sure I could make a living at it. And once I was sure of that, said goodbye to corporate, never looked back. It's been over 20 years.
That is amazing. So, you know, you started with the tarot cards, and it seems like it was just a natural progression to the next step, to the next step, to the next step. So do you feel just like as you were practicing one thing, you're just naturally, like anything, you get good enough and then you level up and then you level up and then you level up. Do you feel like it was just that kind of a steady leveling that got you to where you are?
It was a steady leveling, and it was also going through a lot of stuff in my life that taught me how to live the examined life. Now, what's that? That's when something rough happens, something unexpected. Instead of sitting and having a pity party, you go, okay, this really sucks, but I have to deal with it. What am I learning from it? And then I'm going to turn around and say, what can I teach from it? Someone who works like that, very often spirit will say, you're the kind of person we need talking to people who don't know how to do that. So
right.
the more I got through my life, more gifts I found were, if you will, left at my doorstep by God.
That is so amazing. And so, I mean, you weren't looking for this. This wasn't something that you went after. You stumbled upon it. So in your experience, in your opinion, do you feel like everyone has some sort of ability if they tapped into it?
Of course. We are all wired like the same house plan. The example I give is, we all have 10 fingers and 2 hands. We can pretty much all play chopsticks on the piano. And some of us, if we really practice and we do our scales and we put time into it, can play passably well. One in a million is Elton John, but we all have 10 fingers. Mm-hmm. That's how you look at psychic work.
That makes sense. Because, you know, a lot of people will make comments like, you know, I felt that something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. A lot of people refer to it as their gut feeling or, mm-hmm. you know, it's so weird. I can always predict when my mother-in-law is going to come over or mm-hmm. I can always, you know, a lot of people say things like that and me not knowing anything, I always assume, well, you don't feel that for nothing. I mean, there's got to be something behind that. And so listening to your example, there is something behind it. It's just whether or not you choose to take that and hone it and build it into something greater.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And that's really interesting and very fascinating to hear. I'm just one of those people where, you know, I'm a filler. I feel things. Like I can feel things a mile away. One of my biggest things, and I don't even know what this really has to do with anything. I feel like when I meet people, I can immediately feel
them out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can source them out. Like I can feel if you've got good energy, bad energy. And my personality and time has told me if I feel like someone is not good, I stay away from them. Now, people who don't understand me are like, you're so rude. That's so mean. It's like, no, I know something's not right here and I don't want to be part of it.
All right. You are what is known as an empath. And as a matter of fact, on my own podcast, TN Crones, last week, we had a whole hour on what is an empath, what is empathy, what do you do with it, how do you work with it, how do you keep yourself safe. Mm-hmm. It's known as, if you will, clairsentience. Sometimes I'll call it clairfeelant. Mm-hmm. But it's also, in a sense, underhearing. You probably know when someone is handing you a line. Here's an example. Jessica and Michelle, best buds, going out for coffee. Jessica says, well, I did go out with that guy last night. It was okay. We went to a movie and blah, 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 blah. And Michelle just stops her halfway through and said, he stood you up, didn't he? Oh my God, how did you know? It's because Michelle's underhearing is so strong, she knows when someone is lying to her. Mm-hmm. So you probably have some of both. As an empath, you do have to learn how to put your shields up and down. You know, basically the we're open, we're closed sign on the shop door. Mm-hmm. But don't let anybody else judge you because they have no idea what they're judging. They have no idea who you are or what it can do.
That's amazing. Now, going into just some of the topics that you specialize on, one mm-hmm. thing that I read a lot about in everything that really intrigued me is your past life retrieval. Now, a lot of people probably hear about past life regression, but they don't hear about the retrieval side. Can you tell me what the difference is?
The difference is huge. Okay. Huge. When you do past life regression, and you must only do this with a certified hypnotherapist, certified past life specialist, they take you down in deep trance with hypnosis and you go wandering around in the Akashic and you will see and relive the past life that is most important to you at the moment. Mm-hmm. Now, why do I say you've got to do this with a certified hypnotherapist? Because if you get to a point where all of a sudden you're reliving a death, or you're reliving something significant like a rape, you want someone that can talk you into step back from it. You're only watching. It's objective. Okay. Mm-hmm. Retrieval is very different. Retrieval is where you come to me and you say, I have this situation. I need some clarity. And I'm the one that goes up into the Akashic, pulls down the book and says, read chapter two. Perfect example. When I was at Lilydale, which is a very well-known spiritualist community in Western New York, I was lecturing with Rob Schwartz, who is the author of Your Soul's Planning, Your Soul's Gift, and I was one of his channels. And a woman raises her hand, and she has a butch short haircut. And she says, why am I always afraid of having wet hair in my face? It absolutely panics me. I said, okay. And took about 5 seconds, and then I said, it's a five-syllable answer, Lusitania. You were on the boat in 1915 when it was torpedoed and sinking. You went over the side. Now, you had not bobbed your hair. You still had that big Edwardian mass, so a lot more of it could take on water. And all that hair, debris kept getting caught, pulled you down, and you drowned. She looked at me white-faced, and she said, is that why I'm so terrified of cruise ships? I said, probably. Now, she did not have to relive that drowning. I found it for her, and that was what she needed.
Wow. That's amazing, because I have friends and family and myself that have a fear of something, and they should not have a fear of something. There's a better word for that, but I can't think of it right now. But they have fear.
Inexplicable.
There you go. Inexplicable fear of something that just doesn't make sense in their life. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense that there was something in a past life that probably causes that. Now, you know, a lot of people talk about it in the form of fear. Does it also play into if you feel like you are drawn to something or gravitate something?
One of the threads in my own life that seems to run from life to life to life is, if you will, priest energy. Two lives ago, the past life of my own that I know best, I was a German pilot in World War I, and I was the commander of a squadron. And people would always come to me, Herr Leutnant, can I speak to you? And I would just sit and I would listen and I would guide them. I still do that now. I'm a Rev. So yes, things that we know we do well, we carry through, but not everything. In that life, I was an engineer, graduated from the University of Dortmund in Germany, and I played the violin. Today, for me, one and one is three on alternate Tuesdays. Words are my drug of choice, baby. And I love listening to music but can play nothing. It's because those two things are not needed in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. But counseling spirit, yes, and the ability with words, yes. Next time, who knows? I may just be ordinary with words and, you know, be a bricklayer. You never know. The mm-hmm. soul will figure out what you need to learn on the next level.
And so that carries in to a topic I heard you discussing on one of your podcasts, was reincarnation. Mm-hmm. Now, that is something that my family in general, we've always believed in. We've mm-hmm. always talked in a way to say, I needed to learn something. Like anytime there's a really obvious struggle in our lives, I think we've all kind of sat down and said, obviously this is here because I needed to learn something mm-hmm. that I didn't learn before. And mm-hmm. you kind of talked about that in the podcast. Can you, you know, dive deep on that a little bit?
Okay. What this basically is, it's karma. And people think karma is bad or good. No, karma is actually five things. They're things you choose to learn. Unbalanced energy, which is a neutral, healing, service, contrast. You want to learn about abundance, you have to have a rich life and a poor life, and healing of beliefs. So for instance, I've done the cancer dance three times. Now notice, I don't say that I fought cancer, because what you fight, fights back. And I am not a survivor, because I do a lot more than hang on by teeth and toenail. toenails. I say, I'm a cancer dancer. I found out how graceful I could be under pressure. I avoided getting my toe stepped on, and I got off the dance floor in one piece. So why did I get cancer if I wasn't a bad person? If it wasn't punishment? It was because most of my past lives are male, 80%, 20% female. And when I'm a guy, I'm a typical guy. And this lifetime, it was important that I learn women are worth a lot more than what they look like. But I was born, you know, puberty hit at 11, and all of a sudden, I am a brunette version of Dolly Parton, literally. And so for a long time, I kept thinking my body said I couldn't ever say no. This is all I was worth, and. And I got cancer twice, lumpectomies and a small surgery, but I still hadn't learned the lesson. So basically, my higher self and spirit said, look, we need you down there. You got a lot of work to do. So we're going to remove the problem. And I got a third bout of cancer, but it was the second primary. You turn the clock back to zero. But they said, three strikes, you're out. We're taking the rack. We're taking your ovaries because it's ER positive. And you're going from this Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug with permanent side effects. And you will be celibate the rest of your life because all the damage we're going to do internally. Suck it up. Mm. Now, there are a couple of ways I could have handled it. Did I go home and cry? Yes, I had just been married for a year and a half. I didn't even know if he'd stay. But I knew from my own training, I got to be okay with this. And I chose three stupid things, but it didn't matter. Three things. Number one, you don't have them. You can't get cancer there. Number two, top half is not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year. And every woman listening knows exactly what I'm saying.
Amen three. To that.
Uh-huh. Implants, I'll be perky till I'm 93. This is cool. So I had the double mastectomy and reconstruction, walked out of Massachusetts General Hospital in 3 days, shopped for a bathing suit in five. That was in 2004. Has life been not what I would have looked for? Yes. Am I still married to the same guy? Yes, because we saw marriage as a work in progress. I therefore can teach with this and do my work better because I'm no longer burdened with, if you look like that, these are the expectations.
That's so interesting. I think the idea of reincarnation, you know, is so, so trivial to some people. Like it's such a topic that people are either like super for it or super against it. I think you can look in different religions and different religions are super for it and super against it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something that I think it's something that we go through. Now, my question to you, and this could just be a general hypothetical question, is do you, you know, you come back and you learn something, whatever you're sent here to learn. At some point, is there an end point, or are you just always learning?
That's up to your higher self to make a decision with. Basically, you know, this kind of folds into the idea a lot of evangelicals say, God says we're only down here once, you're lying, it's the devil's work, blah, blah, blah. And I say, no, I agree with that too. Because here's the deal. Thank you, Joe Biden. the soul comes down again and again and again and again. This personality, Lydia Brock, Corby Midline, we get one. Mm-hmm. This particular recipe will never be down here again. And so that's the way I explain it, right? I want all of the listeners, you're going to have an audio visual aid. I want you to look at your hand with the fingers splayed out and the palm toward you. The palm is your soul, everything you've ever been and ever will be. Now, notice how big that is compared to your fingers. Your fingers are incarnations. You can't fit the whole soul in these little bitty bodies. So part of your soul comes down to animate it. And then when you die, crossover, it goes, you know, it comes out of the body, which is like hanging up a coat, goes back into the full soul self, and you've brought back that knowledge. Now, for instance, when I speak with my father, who was my best friend, he died in 2001, He is in his full soul self and has been since 3 weeks after he died, basically. But when he comes down to see his daughter, he does what I call puts on the Jerry Dorkin suit. And he puts back on the energy of the personality. Now, he doesn't come in with anxiety or depression or anger. No, it's all the wonderful things that I loved about my father. His wisdom, his compassion, his kindness, his humor. Dad usually comes in. He was a fabulous internist cardiologist, brilliant man. And if I ever do medical intuitive stuff and it has cardiac stuff, Dad will usually come in and you know, give his opinion, which helps.
So you said something that I was thinking about was, so when you channel with somebody who has moved on, you are channeling with their higher selves, but then they come through as
it's putting
the
on
person
the
they were.
Of,
okay.
Right. Right. That's right.
That is so interesting. So as a channel, you not only know or see the higher self, you also see the person in the suit.
Yes. Because the suit is what most people know. That's what they want to get in touch with. I have one slightly off-color story and one on-color story, both of which can give an example of this. You get to choose which one you want. You know your audience.
We're going to need the off-color.
You really want the off-color one?
I want the off-color.
Pinky swear. All right. You ask.
Pinky swear. Yes.
Okay. This was in Canastota, New York, many, many years ago. And a woman came in. She was part of a biracial, same gender couple. Her black partner had died and her white widow wanted to speak to her. Now, your audience can't see my face. You can. This looks like Cherry Hill, New Jersey. This is not. But what came out of my mouth in flawless urban ebonics was, well, shit, if it ain't my white bitch. And I'm going, yeah, yeah. And the woman in front of me is laughing and crying and nodding because that's how her partner, Isabel, walked into the house to greet her after every business trip. Now, that's why I don't do this mediumship in a gallery setting. Does not belong. But if I had censored myself, she would not have had that absolute evidence.
Right. You were at that point channeling the person she was looking for. You said exactly what she needed to hear to know, yes, I am talking to the woman I need to talk to.
And that's right. And that was a direct download from her partner, Isabel. That would not be something I would look to say. And so that's how I do my mediumship. I also don't fish. There are some people that can do it. There was the late, great Allie Cheslick. Dear friend, we called her Chatty Cathy of the Dead. She could reach anybody at any time. And, you know, if she had a 10-minute spot in a show, she'd be on for 35. You could, Allie enough. But I get the dog tags. For me, that's, for instance, with my father, Jerome Richard Dorkin, who died in 2001 at the age of 80. Why? Because that immediately gets me into the energy and lets me pick up what I need to present them to you so that we can have that conversation. I am not interested in, yes, it's a woman. She, her name starts with G, so it must be grandma, and she's handing you a rose and she loves you. What the hell is that?
Right.
I want to make this meaningful if you're going to go tapping on the upstairs door and say, excuse me, can so-and-so come down and play?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Because if you're going into this, you want to get to the meat and potatoes about it. You don't want to dance around it for 20 minutes to see if you have the right person.
Right. That's right. But that's why I do tell people we're not dial-a-dead. If Aunt Rosa is on a field trip up there, I won't get her. And it doesn't mean she doesn't love you. And it doesn't mean that I'm no good. It just means she's not by the phone at the moment.
That makes so much sense. So I have two questions and they might be crazy. So if they are, just
what do
we'll
I do for
on.
A living, honey? Go ahead.
The first question I have is, have you ever, so when you're connecting with people and you see them as their higher selves, and then you see them come down as the person that the person in front of you needs to see, do you ever kind of say, like, man, the person who's down here is so much different than the higher self. Can you notice that?
No, because if I did, then I'd be in my ego thinking about things. When I channel for you, mm-hmm. my ego self, the thing that figures out, am I doing it right? That's sitting upstairs with a magazine. Because the ego would have been the one who would have said, I can't say what this woman wants me to say to her okay. partner.
So the next question I have, it's something that we kind of throw around in my family, and you know, no one knows if they're right or wrong. So, yes. So when a soul leaves the body yep. and goes to rejoin its higher self, is it a direct reconnection, or is there a bit of, a review time? Like, you're coming down here to learn something. Mm-hmm. So yes. if you are in school, you review something before you take the test or you go on. Is there like a middle way station where, or
not
something
quite like Defending Your Life, yeah. the movie with Meryl Streep and right. Albert Brooks, though we would all love to eat 24 pies with no calories. What I tell people is, look, you're going to get up there, sign the guest register, unpack your bag, and take the orientation tour. But really what happens is you do your life review, but, whatever good things you did, as you review it, you will feel all the good feelings from other people. When you're cruel, when you steal, when you kill, when you put someone down, whatever, you have to feel the pain, the sorrow, the rage, the fear, everything that they felt. That's hell. Mm. But when you're done, you're done. You know, there's a Yiddish expression, grisha. What's a grisha? It's when you stick in the knife and you twist it really good to make sure it's there. God does not do grishas. Mm-hmm. Here, learn from this. Good, you've reviewed it. Now you go on, and then stuff is brought back to the higher self. Things are discussed. The higher self decides, well, how do I want to approach this next time? And. But you as the personality, you're in the closet. It doesn't mean that you have no knowledge. From what I understand, all the good things about ourselves are when we're close to our soul. If you're bigoted, if you're afraid of food, if you think that people who like birds are stupid, that all disappears when you go upstairs. You are only on the best parts of yourself, because that was when your soul was really reaching down and making full connection.
So let's move on to some of the other amazing things you do. So I have always known tarot cards, mm-hmm. but there's also a oracle deck. What is
more than one?
Okay, so what are we talking about here?
All right, the audience doesn't get to see it, but you do. Here, for mm-hmm. instance, are the 7 oracle decks that I could use during a reading, as well as tarot. Here's the difference. Tarot cards are hundreds of years old, and they have specific rules that this is how you use them. Nowadays, oracle cards don't have to abide by those rules. They are an artwork design and an ID behind it that can fulfill what the creator wants to say. Let's take a look. This is a deck I have. It's called Whispers of Lord Ganeshan. And you know who Ganesh is?
I do not.
Okay. Ganesh is the elephant-headed god in Hindu religion. He is the lord of obstacles. Everybody in India has a little Ganesh statue in their house. And I kind of compare it for Americans. Think about the little Italian-American grandmother in South Philadelphia who has the peeling statue of the Virgin Mary in the back by the barbecue. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Got it. So
this beautifully illustrated deck is very good when I need to talk to someone about how to be compassionate to themselves in a situation. Then we've got this deck, which is by John Gray, the guy who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And this is called The Joy of Relationships. And this is a deck I specifically use when someone says, where the hell is he or she or them? It's the deck I use for relationships. So those are all the things that Oracle decks can do. They all have their specialties. And then tarot is what I use for what I call the everyday tour bus. House, car, job, kids, finances. Okay, gotcha, put me here. What the hell am I doing now?
Mm-hmm.
The thing to remember about tarot, there are three cards that weird out rookies. Death, the devil, and the tower. And I always explain to them, if they come up, I'll tell you what they mean, because it ain't that. I'm just going to flip through the deck and see which of them comes up first. All right, here's the devil card. All right, this is not Mr. Horns and a Tail. This is not you're possessed. This is being constantly bedeviled by something, someone, or some situation, or holding yourself back from your highest and best. A lot of people see the death card and absolutely panic, and I have to explain to them, no, it's death of an old way of life, death of what you've outgrown, or death of what was never you in the first place. It is transformation. And the reason I always make sure somebody understands that is there was a time when I forgot to explain these cards, and the person was an absolute rookie, and they saw the death card, and I could not convince them that they were not going to be hit by a bus on Tuesday.
Oh, no.
And the last one for that is the tower card. Now, the tower card looks like doom, gloom, and destruction. But the way I explain it to people is it's more like the imploding sports stadium. Okay. Lydia, what state are you in?
Texas.
Fine. Rangers want to build a new stadium. They got to blow up the old one first. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So when people see that, it's a matter of you may have to go back to ground zero. But it's because you're going to be able to build back better. That's why I am a certified tarot master, because I've spent so many years with the cards that I don't just keep the meaning that is in the book in the forefront of my mind. I let the cards tell me what they need to know. There's one particular card. It's a simple one. It's the Three of Pentacles. And in most decks, it shows somebody working on stained glass windows in a church. So it's a card of mastery. It's a card of long-term. But when I saw this card in Kitchener, Ontario, several years ago, I was sitting reading a couple, and I looked at the card, and what came out of my mouth is there is a deconsecrated or abandoned church somewhere around here, and that's where you need to open up your cafe bakery, which they hadn't told me they were considering. And they looked at each other, and they looked at me and said, we know which one. We've been arguing about it for 2 years. It was just a download from their people, their guides to me, tell them this. And when you just look at the card and you're not afraid that it may mean something different than the book says, that's mm-hmm. when you're a true reader, because you are getting the real information. But the point is, if all I'm doing is amazing you with my WikiWoo, what the hell? Why did you spend the money? You mm-hmm. need to leave my desk, booth, whatever, with a rocket pack on your back and information. It's why if you ask me a yes or no question about your business, is my business going to be successful? I'm going to look at you and say, and what if I said no and you're going to lose everything and live in a box under a bridge? Wrong question. You ask the empowering question. How do I make my business rock and roll? Then it's a deep dish spread, a card for you, a card for the energy around the business, a card for the brick and mortar location you're looking at, how to market it, clients, competition, staff, finances, what you need to know and best possible outcome. Now you've got the tools to move your life forward. The reason why also yes or no questions aren't really safe, especially if you don't know who you're reading with, is you could say, is my business going to be a success? And the Madam Hoo-ha could say, no, I'm so sorry. It says that you will lose everything within 6 months, but I have this specially blessed candle and it's only $600. That will fix. No, it won't. Remember, you are in charge in a reading. You are the one that says, yes, no, or I'm out of here. That is precisely why I wrote this book, The Psychic Yellow Brick Road, How to Find the Real Wizards and Avoid the Flying Monkeys. It's because good psychic guidance is art, and too many people are settling for forgeries. There is no other book out there that literally says, this is how you stay safe. This is what a psychic can and cannot do. These are some great questions to ask. This is some stuff we want you to stay away from. If they start doing this, run. There just wasn't. And I wrote this book because there was a scene in Toronto that I saw where a fake gypsy basically told a woman, she was going to have her whole family lost in 2 weeks in a car accident if she didn't burn 400 specially blessed candles at the Roman Catholic Church. And the gypsy says, oh, I bless real good, only $1 candle. No, it doesn't work that way.
I love it. So you have another book. It says, You've Got the Magic. So that book from what, here we go. You've Got the Magic, Who Needs a Genie? So that book from what I was reading about it, that's basically to educate and support others that are within your community.
That's right. That's right. Look, I used to be on the road for 18 years, 45 weekends a year. My friends nicknamed me the Travel Channel. Well, I'm off the road now, baby. At 66, I have a bad back. I can't do the load in, the load out, and, you know, 10 hours in the car. But I have all this knowledge. Why would I not share it? Also, I am one of the few psychics who can truly straddle the twin mountains of WikiWoo and business, because I was in the corporate world for so long. So this book is the A-lister's guide to holistic expo success, right from the basics, how to choose which shows to do, how to dress, how to do your booth, to the intangibles, the legalities, how to do workshops and lectures, how to do podcasts like this. Everything that I could put in here, it's there for people who really want to do this as a profession and want to do psychic fairs, holistic expos, whatever. Now, talk about irony. When was it published? March of last year. What happened then? The beginning of the year of Murder Hornet Bingo. So it's been sitting on the shelf for a year, but now, excuse me, a lot of people are starting to schedule shows again. So now would be the time. If you are a light worker of any kind, you're a psychic, you sell crystals, you do body work, you sell CBD oil, anything that you would do at one of these big psychic fairs, this book is for you. With lots of examples.
That's awesome. And then the third book is Clean Out Your Life Closet. So when I, you know, read about that one, I felt like that was like teaching someone how to wipe the slate clean and to start rebuilding. Your book,
It's self-help. And one of the points that I make to people is, you know, we all buy self-help books. We do. They're these really sexy covers and good words on the back. We flip through a couple of pages. Maybe this will work. We get it home and then what do you mean I have to be vegan, avoid all foods with lectins, and meditate 3 times a day? I'm a school teacher in Milwaukee with 2 kids. What are they talking about? So to me, the whole point of this book is, when you're in charge of your changes, all possibilities are yours as well. So the way I've written it is not do everything I do and it all gets better. It's here are some of the stupid things I did. Here are some examples from a client. And then at the end, you have your adventure pages. Now, what are the adventure pages? The adventure pages are open-ended questions that I put at the end so you can take what I wrote and make it work for your life.
A book like this, where, like you said, you hear your examples and your clients' examples, that's naturally going to make you think about your own self. And then you've got these open-ended questions, like you said, that only you can answer. And then before you know it, you actually, like you said, you have a journal. I can imagine it would be really nice to get through the book and then go and read all your answers again to kind of see what you were saying. And because if you do, to me, if you do it as honest as possible, you're going to write stuff that you probably would never say out loud.
And it's one of the reasons I wish I could afford to do it with the other two, but I did the audiobook version of Clean Out Your Life Closet. Because when it's a nonfiction book like that, you want to hear the voice of the person who is giving you the knowledge.
Yeah.
And so that book is available paperback and Kindle and audiobook. And someday I'd like to do the other ones as well. Okay.
I would like to see if you would do a reading for me before we end today.
Okay. What's the most important thing you want to walk out of here knowing? What's biting your butt?
This is so crazy because I know the answer to it, but I'm like, oh, do I really want to know the answer to it?
Come on, what?
You know, I'm I'm an open book, so I'll be honest here. I'm married, and my relationship has been very, very rocky. And I'm more of a head person than a heart person. And I'm in a battle right now with head and heart. And any bit of guidance on that would be amazing.
What's your husband's first name?
Joel.
You, Dr. J, the relationship, what you need to know and best possible outcome. Quick five. You, Six of Cups. Sometimes you think that he's just the biggest kid in the room, and that can be a problem. His card, King of Pentacles. He's the one that has to be the provider, make the money. If I do this, then I'm okay.
Yep.
Now, this card is the Nine of Cups, and it has a double meaning. The usual is wishes fulfilled, but the secondary meaning everyone forgets is be careful what you wish for, because you're going to get it. And you did. Mm-hmm. What you need to know, you guys got to move in, move on, move up, move out. Now you got to make some changes. You can't stay where you are. Outcome? The alchemist says you can turn lead into gold if you're willing to do the work. Now, what I'm going to do is for something like this, I usually pull what I call the three and three.
Okay.
Because these are your options. First three cards are status quo. You just kind of sit there and bumble along. Second three cards are the come to Jesus meeting, and you all go to counseling and you really do the work. Third set is hostile, a bye-bye. It's been nice, but I'm so done. You leave. Because those are your options. Status quo. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that you don't say to each other. The money may be okay, but that's all that's okay. And you probably eventually do split. Notice the horse is going in two different directions.
Yeah.
Counseling. You find out if the marriage is not 60-60 or even 50-50, where the imbalance is, you decide, what is the money really? Is it coin? Is it attention? Is it truth? What do I want to spend on this relationship? I don't know how he'll do, but you at the end of this will know exactly who you are and what you're worth. If you decided to bug out, it would be a vision quest for you. Who am I? Who was I before I got married? Victory through teamwork. You would not lose a lot of friends over this. People would be on your side. Third, and this is very interesting. This is the divorced card. The allegory. In order, the woman is in a boat. Water is turbulent on one side, smooth on the other. And she doesn't have a lot of baggage and she's very upset. The allegory is, in order to go from the rough waters to the smooth, the woman in the boat mourns because she had to leave behind a lot of things that told her who she was or the boat wouldn't float. Any of that off?
Not at all. All of that was scary accurate.
It's what I do.
And you do it well. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Well, with that, I got to go have a drink and digest all of that. I appreciate you having here. So before we leave, I would like to make sure that all my listeners know where to find you, if they want to contact you, where to get the books, give them the rundown on how to get you.
You can't avoid me. You just can't. First thing is the website is corbymitlide.com. And that's where you can see the information on all the books. You can also order them there. You can see I do many, many different kinds of appointments. You hit the request appointment tab. You get to see that. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook under Fire Through Spirit. YouTube channel has guided meditations and some videos on things like spiritual time management and how I do some of my readings, things like that. And I'm also on Patreon. If you want to, Patreon is a great way that you literally can support someone that you believe is doing good work. And It's a tiny monthly fee, and I do private readings for people. And last month, we did a full guided meditation for people that is not anywhere else to be found. And it's just a way of saying, I believe in what you do. So you can find me pretty much anywhere you need to.
Wow. I hope everybody goes out and finds her. Just in preparing for the interview today and being in the interview, I cannot wait to make my way through a few of your books there, because I really feel like they have some good information that I personally need right now to help me on my own journey. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for you being here today.
It was a pleasure. One thing I am going to say about the books to you and to anybody, if you want to buy my books, I adore you for doing it, but please, please, please leave a review on Amazon. When you are self-published the way I am, until you have 50 reviews, they kind of stick you on the back shelf behind the pickles and nobody gets to know about you. So leaving a review is an enormous help, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you again. And it was a great and interesting episode today, guys. Have a wonderful week, and I will see y'all next week. Bye. Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram @sip_the_sauce. And make sure you check for new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day.